The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We carry the largest in-stock selection of Hunter ceiling fans. They provide consistent comfort all year round and also help reduce energy costs. Right now, save big on Hunter ceiling fans when you shop at Menards. View our entire selection of Hunter ceiling fans today on Menards.com. Plus, our weekly flyer with plenty more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
How to start a business from scratch, how to make sure that you're not building a business so that you run it for the rest of your life, how to build a business to sell it. That's today's show. And we've got an amazing guest on the show today. I mean, a storied career, a real expert in building businesses. His name is Terry Ogburn. And I just want to go through some of Terry's background here and a little bit of his biography. It's deep. It's like 4 pages long. But he is the renowned owner and lead business coach of Ogburn's Business Solutions. It's a proprietary coaching system, personal devotion to the development of others. He's contributed to his success of hundreds of small business owners around the world. He began his career in 1979 when he had $118 to start an air conditioning service business, and then he just exploded from there. And he's done it repeatedly, started multiple companies. He was, in 1984, he won the award for the Outstanding Young Businessman of the Year in the state of Florida, and his list of credentials just goes on and on and on. I'm so thrilled to have Terry here on the show today to share some of his great business building wisdom with our audience, because I get this question a lot from people who are saying, you know, I just got to get out of this 9-to-5. I'm drowning here. I want to do something special, meaningful, and I want to build a business. So Terry, welcome to the show. It's a real treat to have you here.
Well, thank you, Clayton, for having me on your show as well. And what a background you have too. We got to share a little bit of that in the beginning. And, thank you for your service.
Absolutely. And it's great to have you here on the show. And we're talking about, you know, I worked in the TV business for a number of years and worked for somebody else. And I said, you know, it's time. I wanted to leave. And I started this channel to help other people build wealth and be able to share wisdom with folks like yourself who have done amazing things in their career. So a lot of my audience, you know, they're struggling, Terry. I mean, they're working that 9-to-5, or I got a text from someone this morning on my Instagram that said, try, you know, 5 a.m. I'm up at 5 a.m. to get to work. And I want to spend more time with my family and I want to build something that's special to me. So if you are watching for the very first time and you're thinking about starting your business, Terry, what kind of advice would you give to someone who's sitting there with a clean slate at the moment?
Well, if I could start by saying, most people start a business because they get frustrated, like you said, about working for somebody and they can do it better and, you know, that type of stuff. Yeah, the best way to do is start with the intention of selling your business. You should go into the business with the anticipation that 18 to 24 months, you should be able to cash out. You should be able to do that, build it with that structure. Doesn't mean you have to do that, Clayton. It just means that you're setting up with that mindset. Like with my air conditioning business, I was a typical guy. I got fired out of the car business, and I was very successful at selling cars, but I knew how to work on air conditioners. So I said, well, I'll just do that, you know, and I had to learn the hard way because you're good at working on an air conditioner doesn't mean you're good at business. So get mentors, get people who you want to emulate. You know, if you want to be like in the air conditioning business, I sought after the best air conditioning companies out there and tried to, not just locally, but, you know, out there to mirror them. Work from the top down.
I love that approach and seeing what's working in the marketplace, not necessarily having to reinvent the wheel, right? Find out where maybe you can make some big improvements. It's the same when I hear advice when people want to start a blog and, you know, you want to write a great article. Well, find an article that's not as good as one you could write. And maybe it's 500 words. Maybe you could devote 1,000 words and make it even better. So when someone Google searches how to tie your shoes, they're going to find your article because you put the time, attention into it and made it even better than the competition. So Terry, when you're trying to model your business after another company, like in your example, the air conditioning company, you're trying to improve, I imagine, the product in the marketplace, if they're seeing that as a potential competitor down the line. When you're mapping that out on paper at the beginning and you're looking to mirror this other company, what are some key things that you would write down to make sure that you're on the right path to be a successful air conditioning company?
Good, very good question. I focused on customer service. I recognize in the industry and service industry, no matter what industry you're in, you know, the service part of it, you know, lacks desire, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I just started studying what the customers wanted. Like for an example, I had a year guarantee on my work, okay, parts and labor. Now the industry dictated 90 days, that was the industry norm. But if you used original equipment parts, they were a little bit more expensive. But by using those parts, you got a year guarantee, and it was a manufacturer part. So if I fix something in your air conditioner, I use the exact part, then you would feel more comfortable about it as a customer. Well, what I didn't realize that was because other companies would end their program in 90 days, they would never call them back, but they called me back because they had a year guarantee. But most likely it wasn't the part 90% of the time, and more than that, 99% of the time, the part's not going to fail. It's right. Original. So it's going to be something else. So it gives me a second opportunity to or make a sale or service recovery. You know, with meaning that, oh, well, like one time real story was, you have to have things like this in mind. Person said, well, if I paid this much money and this much money now, I could buy a new unit. And then I would say, okay, yeah, that's fair. Go get the price of the unit that you want, get the model number, get the price. I'll take away the price of the part that you, that you paid for the first time. I'll install the unit that you want and we'll put it at your price. That's what you paid me for the first service call. I was building customers for life.
Right. And that's what we try to do at our company too. When you focus on customer service first, you know, we spent the last few years diving as deeply as we could into the customer service experience and how can we provide the best experience bar none so no one could even touch us. Then you really separate yourself from the field because people remember that, right? It's the customer service thing. If you got on the phone with someone and they were able to get back to you very quickly about a problem, you develop that loyalty. You start creating that loyalty for life, right?
Exactly. And we would do things like my Mary Beth, who was my assistant at that time, she was required to call every customer that we serviced. Every day. Can you imagine that person? She didn't want to make the calls.
Right.
But we learned so much. We to the point to where we had started having daily training meetings from 7 o'clock in the morning till 7:45. We trained not on technical stuff, but customer service issues, cleaning and all this. And then inspire your team to, you know, like through thank you letters or something, give them an incentive to do good work. I put out there, if you get a thank you letter, I'll give you $5. Now, remember, this is in the 70s and 80s. It was a lot of money then. But, you know, incentivize them to get testimonies, you know, from people.
Oh, I love that. There's so many. And once you start sort of grabbing that whiteboard with that marker and coming up with ideas. You know, we this new year, we had a whole bunch of these ideas from our meetings. You know, what can we do to really, you know, encourage people to, you know, to talk about their experience or to refer a friend or whatever it happens to be. Once you start whiteboarding those ideas, they just start spilling out. Maybe it's, we're going to send you a birthday cake. You know, we're going to send someone just a nice t-shirt or something like that to say thank you. So those ideas can start to spill out. I want to talk about.
Can I camp on that for 1 second?
Yeah, please.
Real quick. I developed a thank you card. Now that's back in the day. That wasn't a big thing. I mean, people sent things, but I'm talking about businesses. Mm-hmm. So I had a special design card that had a football player on it, Buccaneer football player, throwing a pass. And the arc in the card said, thanks. And you open it up and it said, for throwing the business my way. And I would sign it and my assistant would hand address each envelope. So it appears that I sat and did that personal thing for them. That was humongous.
Right. And think about that's the 1980s or 1970s. Now there's services. I used it one time for something, but it's fantastic. Right from your iPhone, you could type in that person's address, type in a note, and it's handwritten note that gets sent in the mail to a client or, you know, an employee. You want to thank them. And so you could even take some of that legwork out of there for you. So there's no excuse, I guess, is what I'm saying. We're in such an amazing time. There's no excuse not to have good customer service these days, right?
In fact, my organizational chart with my program, it puts the organizational chart with the customer at the top. The CEO's at the bottom.
I love that. I love that because this is something that my friend Gary Vaynerchuk talks about quite a bit, is the idea of listening, right? The customer is driving all the stuff that he's producing and creating for his company. And he's at the bottom. He's at the bottom as an operator, watching. He's in the comments every day on social media, seeing what people are asking. He's listening to the customer. And so I love that you have the customer at the top of that organizational chart. I hope everyone listening right now writes that down. That's incredibly important.
And identify all the frontliners, the people who are going to interact with the customer, and give them as much power as you can give them to interact, to save the middle management people from getting involved. When I was at Radio Shack, the store managers really couldn't make any decisions. So it would get, the next thing you know, you get a little confrontation on a customer service issue. The regional director got brought into it. Well, look how much money we're paying to get the regional director involved in a customer service issue that could be for $8.
Right. Well, that's a great point. Get your supervisor on the phone. Well, if that customer service person was empowered to be a solution-oriented person, like at Zappos and other companies, they would be able to cut out that extra cost in the center.
And then it leaves the top people, the CEO people, they're on the whiteboards. They're drawing out visions, and that gives them time to focus on where the company's going. You got middle management working on systems and processes to make sure that the frontline people don't have to, it doesn't filter to them. So they're just constantly working on the business. And then your frontline people are empowered. Let them go. If they make a mistake, it's okay. It's probably costs us less if they make a mistake than losing a customer.
Right. So I want to go back to the beginning a little bit. You talk about making sure you're setting up your company to be able to sell it. Now, I think that also comes down to your passion too. So I imagine you're going to start a business because it's something you're passionate about, or do you even care about? If you're sitting down and mentoring young people, does it matter if they're passionate about the business, or would you almost have them be dispassionate because they plan on selling it someday?
Both, Clayton, both. We have to be detached, because once we detach ourselves, we can be more realistic. You know, we got the vision of the forest rather than the tree.
Right.
But at the same time, we have to have passion that we want to drive to be the number one in the company, or number one in the city, or number. We got to, even when I went to Century 21, we just took this office, and I said, we got to be number one in something. So if it's number one in listings, or if it's number one in whatever it might be, accentuate that we are number one in something. You got to do that to be, you know, out there. And, you know, do everything you can to separate yourself from the herd, you know, so to speak. Get things that make it last. Now, when you have that, when you get to that 18 months to 24 level, you should have organizational chart. You should have your job description filtered out. You should know where everybody's going, what everything. You're going to become more attractive to sell if you wanted to. If you don't, it's going to be easier for you to run, because you're going to have people run it for you and go open another one. I opened two stores. Okay. So that's how franchising works. They go out and they get one pod working, then they move out, you know, within a 5-mile area, and they put another one in, and they just expand that way.
Right.
Synergy.
So when you look at the landscape right now, if someone's watching, who's going to sit down tonight and says, you know what, this was the video, this was the interview that kicked me in the pants to start my own business. They grab a piece of paper, they're sitting down, they're going to write out their idea. They're going to think and set it up with the idea to sell it. What are some of the next key steps that they need to put down on paper in order to get? Because I believe that it's all, to me, starting and doing anything in life is just a series of small little steps. So what
Perfect.
Are the first few little small steps that that person watching right now needs to do in order to move?
What I would do is create an operations manual. Okay. Now, my manual consists of 8 pieces, and I'll give these pieces to your audience if you'd like.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Okay.
All right.
The first is your business development plan. You need a culture. So in your business development plan, it takes into consideration all the little aspects. So the organizational, your strategic plan, your systems, your management, your marketing, and all of these are strategies. So you're mapping out your strategies.
Okay.
Number two is your strategic plan or an action plan that's going to get this business development concept put in play. And this includes all your jobs, the people that you need, and it's going to help you get this across the finish line. Number three is you need an organizational strategy with a chart and job description. It's real easy to get job descriptions. Go out online. You want a job description for a sales consultant? Type it in. You'll have it. It's already on Google. And just make it, tailor it to your salesperson, the way you want them to act.
Okay.
Make a job description for every function. If you need a bookkeeper, you need an accountant, whatever you need, make sure you got all the territory covered, so to speak. You need a budget and performance. Clayton, most people don't know what a budget and performance is in this day and age. They use QuickBooks, which is a good service. I'm not saying that. But QuickBooks is past accounting. You find out after the fact what happened. Performance about projecting income, projecting futures, projecting not only your income coming in, where's your money coming from, how are you going to do it, but also project your expenses. You got a cost of living, so you got gas goes up, fluctuate, things fluctuate, you got to do that. And also, remember, in the performa, it also includes you paying your taxes. So at the end, you're supposed to end up with 10% after federal income tax. After you paid everything, you're supposed to have 10%. If you're not holding a 10% bottom line after taxes, then we got to fix our ratios in the performance, and that's easy to do. You need a policy and procedures manual. How do you handle credit cards? How do you handle vacations? How do you handle all these things? Well, these are all things we can find online. So it's not like a big deal. You just go out there and do it. And then you need a direct marketing plan. I'll give your listeners a direct marketing. People say, I love direct marketing.
And direct marketing, for our listeners who are unfamiliar, is getting a postcard in the mail that says, John, the realtor just sold the house down the street. Are you interested in selling your house? Right?
That's something
direct,
like that.
Yes, mm-hmm. Direct marketing. Yeah.
I can give your listeners a better than a 90% guaranteed open rate. You want a 90% open rate,
yeah,
Clayton?
I would love that. Yes.
Okay. Go to the supply store and get 9-inch tubes, these little 9-inch poster tubes.
Uh-huh.
Take your flyer, your newsletter, whatever information you want, roll it up, stuff it in there, go out and buy a package of Tic Tacs. They fit perfectly in there, seal it all up, and when that thing arrives, it's going to be a colorful tube, it's going to rattle, they're going to open it.
Today's episode is brought to you by Manscaped. I love a company with a great sense of humor. And look, I know that over 70% of our audience are men. So that means 30% of you are women, and Father's Day is coming up. This is the perfect gift for your man. I'm telling you, everyone has a story of doing something stupid with a razor when they were growing up, or heck, even in their 20s. My friend, I remember telling me, with a razor, he couldn't walk for like 2 days. You know where I'm going with this, right? That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months, and they perfected the greatest hair trimmer ever created. And they just released the brand new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. Again, I love a company with a sense of humor. The Lawnmower 3.0. The third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce accidents. Millions of men out there are about to be nick free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin safe technology. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. Thank you guys. Thank you. Thank you. When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take as long as you need to shave. People be knocking on the door. What are you doing in there? The water-resistant technology allows you to do it in the shower also, which is awesome. One of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor. Holy smokes. And it's called the Quiet Stroke technology. Yeah. And let's not forget about the charging stand, so you can show your mower off loud and proud in the bathroom, because this intelligently designed stand is convenient, has a charging dock, and it's powered by USB. So if you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand, and you're going to save 20% off and free shipping, perfect for Father's Day. You got to use the coupon code INVESTING. Use the coupon code INVESTING. You just got to go to manscaped.com and use the coupon code INVESTING. Your balls will thank you.
I love that. Well, in the real estate world, when I was doing a lot of direct mail, I would spend tens of thousands of dollars a month on direct marketing. And we would look at it and analyze different mail pieces. You know, what would be better? Is it handwritten? Handwritten always outperformed other things. So I love the idea. No one ever thought of using a tube with Tic Tacs in it. That's amazing. And now, who are you marketing to? I mean, are you shooting sort of a shotgun approach? I mean, I guess if you're a restaurant and you're in a 5 mile radius, you might send out a flyer and a tube to maybe all the houses kind of live nearby the restaurant. Hey, we're opening. We'd love you to come down on Friday night for a 20% off the steak dinner. But if you're national, you're international company, what would your approach be to direct marketing?
Well, good. I'll give you a good example. One of my friends is he handles the direct marketing for Domino's. Nationwide.
Wow.
Nationwide.
Wow.
Okay. So every time you put pizzas ordered in with Domino's, they record it in the computer. That is downloaded into his computer in Tampa, Florida. And then he has this 40-foot printer. And you and I can live on the same street. You can order a Domino's pizza with pepperoni. I can order a Domino's pizza with black olives. Your coupon will come to you in your mail, and my coupon will come to me in my mail, and it'll be mailed at the same time.
Wow.
That's how sophisticated direct mail can get now. So in the post office, they'll mail anything. You could put a beach ball with your label on it. You want to invite somebody to a seminar, you know, one of those seminars, you have seminar business or whatever, mail out beach balls. They have to deliver them.
Right. You're right about that. I mean, I've certainly tried to get some of those, you know, those weekly newspaper flyers in your town. They put your mailbox every week, you know, whatever, it's the local circular. And I asked the mail lady one day, I said, postal lady, I said, I don't ever look at this local, and she said, no, I have to deliver it every week. So if we go on vacation, I come back, I'll have 10 of these circulars in there. They have to deliver it.
I'll give you another little direct tip for those that may be out there having maybe some kind of service like a carpet cleaning or a air conditioning company or something like that. Okay. They got a little business going. Get these little door hangers. And every time when they finish up a house, you know, right there, flyer the 10 people around them. Just put the door hangers on. Right? The guys are going to take them 15 minutes, just run around the neighborhood. That's how Century 21 got the name 21, Century 21. The house listed, and they would do put hangers on 5 houses each side and 10 across the street. That's where Century 21 gets its name from.
Wow. I didn't know that. And a little trick to playing off your trick, we're bouncing ideas back and forth here. But when I would be out trying to find deals, I'd go out 7 a.m. and walk through entire neighborhoods with a little pack of post-it notes that I had printed up. I didn't have to handwrite them. You can have handwritten, you know, signature font mailed to you. I had a huge boxes of just little yellow post-it notes with something about buying. I just bought the house down the street. If you're interested in selling your house, please call me. And I just, everyone is going to pull that post-it note off their door. And
exactly.
My phone rang off the hook because of it.
In this day and age, we want to add a component to our direct marketing, and we want to add something called psychographics. Okay. Psychographics, for the listeners out there, this is where those people that you want hang out. So if you want to buy a list of all the people that own Lexus and Mercedes, you can do that. If you want to target people who are focused on this one group, you target that group. I work with a company called MarineMax, one of the largest boat companies in the United States. And we actually have salespeople that will actually go out knocking on doors, Clayton, and sharing newsletters with them. Wow. One of the salespersons, this is kind of funny, one of the salespersons said, well, you can't do that, was another salesperson against it. So you can't do that. You may be walking up to one of our customers. So the guy withdrew, you know, kind of backed away a little bit. He told me about it. I says, so what he's saying is that all customers belong to him until they prove they're not?
Right.
So, I mean, these people get all whacked out because you think of something new and unique. But why wouldn't you, if you're selling boats, why wouldn't you want to talk to all the people that own property on the water?
Right. Exactly.
No brainer.
Right. And you know, and then the people that are lazy are the ones that are going to lose this game, right? Especially as we innovate in this space and think about new, you know, new and exciting ways to do this, whether it's direct mail or just getting in front of customers like that. Did we get through all eight in your manual? I just want to make sure.
The last is social media. So you have a separate social media, and that gives you another thing. LinkedIn and Facebook, they're 100% open rate. Well, it's probably 99% open rate. Because if you message me, that's how you and I got connected, was through your Facebook.
Right.
I can tell you that because that's how our marketing starts. We go after the Facebook, because my thought was podcasting is started with Facebook. So everybody should have a Facebook account. So right. Let's go and interact with them there. Well, whoever opens your Facebook opened it, and then we started our process.
Right.
LinkedIn is the same way.
And, you know, if you're thinking about, oh, direct mail, you know, using social media marketing and putting your money in behind that, you know, it's all about attention, right? It's all about getting in front of the right people at the right time. And by being, you have to be out there on social media. You know, we just got on different platforms, and we're putting as much content and to get in front of the right audiences, even if it's a younger audience, and normally we hit an older audience. I want to be able to talk to everybody and to be able to help them get started in real estate investing and building a business. So you've got to be on social media. This is not 1980 anymore, right? You've got to be out there.
And another thing that we want to make sure that we understand about customer behavior, that's more important today than anything, because better than 80% of the people will start their buying process online. So they're looking for third-party validation. So they don't want to talk to salespeople because they don't trust them. Salespeople have built a legacy over the years that they can't be trusted. So I want the people that I work with in sales, I want them to understand that the customer knows more about the product or service than you do. Assume that, even if they don't, assume that, and then use an iPad or use third-party validation to correct them if they're wrong or whatever, but always mirror their technology, whatever they're using.
Where do you see, I love those eight strategies, and I hope everyone rewinds this and writes all these down if you were driving. We'll have a link in our show notes so we can have deeper information for people to take action on this. You know, Terry has just given you the blueprint. Now it's incumbent upon you to take action, whether it's to start a business and start investing in performing assets, buying other businesses, or actually starting a business from the ground up. He's given you the blueprint on that. Terry, I want to get your sense of where you see the landscape of startup businesses going. This is something you mentor people all the time around. Is it online? Is it brick and mortar? You know, is it distribution centers? Where are you seeing the most upside right now?
I think it's straight across the board, Clayton. There's still going to be brick and mortar. There's still going to be online services. It's where you feel comfortable. If you feel like your product and services are online, then that would be good. Some people, like for an example, Mary Kay Ash, for an example, she started out as the brick and mortar. Most people don't know that Mary Kay Cosmetics was in malls and stores, and she was a publicly traded company. She decided it was too much headache. I've taken a company public. I know how the ups and downs of that. She bought all of her stock back, and she turned it into, you know, outside evangelist going out and using that as a market. So it just depends on the bottom line is how much money you make and where you're going to get the most attention. So if you can develop an online store, and I know, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, he came in and spoke at our group in Tampa, Chris Kamisos, I don't know if you know him, but he spoke, you know, Gary came to us and he told us the same thing in that meeting is you have to figure out where your client is and then you go to them. And if they're on social media, then you have to be on social media. If they're in brick and mortar, then that's where you need to go. But remember, it's all about focusing from the top down. And I'll give your listeners four things, just four little steps that they can put in place right now, today. And would that be okay?
Oh, absolutely. Every nugget you're giving me is gold. So
okay. First and foremost is we got to be committed Clayton. I mean, committed, all boats in, you know, all's in, burn the boats. It's done. We got to be committed to what we're doing. And that means if you need to get funding, if you need to get money, you need to get people, you need to get it, do it. Don't play around with it. Don't put your toe in the water. Get in or get out, so to speak. Number two, disciplines. We must put disciplines in place to make sure our commitment comes true. So that means if you have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, then that's what you have to do.
Right.
You know, when I was in the real estate world, I wanted my people to commit to listings and then put disciplines in place that they had to get listings. That was that. Then the decisions. Number three is decisions. Focus on your decisions. Make sure that the decisions you're making are taking you to your goals. We should be writing our goals out. The Harvard Business School did a goal study story, and what they found out was only 3% of the people write their goals out. That means that 97% of the people don't. 84% of people don't even have goals. 13% of the people have ideas and wishes. But what the study proved was that the 3% that wrote down their goals made 10 times the money that the 97% of the people that didn't have written goals. Now, wouldn't you start writing your goals down? Okay.
Oh, yeah, so, for sure. I do that every year and every week I'm checking them, you know, but that's something that people don't do. They carry them around in their head and then they become nebulous in a way. They're not real. And if you print them and put them on your refrigerator and you see them every day or every time you open your iPad, you have the background screensaver set as your goals, you're going to see it every day, right?
Exactly. And when you write, you get the learning three ways. Most people don't realize this. We've trained ourselves to be an audio or visual or hands-on learner. Well, we can be all three. For an example, if you got a great book you want to read, get a CD that matches the book, listen to the CD and read the book at the same time. You want to talk about powerful embedding into your subconscious? That book, it's tremendous what that'll do.
Now, let me just say a little bit before we get to number four, because I love the technology side. You know, I used to cover tech. So I love this piece that you just gave us because most people don't know that on Kindle, on Amazon's Kindle platform, there's a feature called Whisper Sync. Now, if you buy the Kindle book, the digital book, you're sitting back by the fire, you're making notes, right? And what you can do is you can buy the Audible version of the book. Audible is owned by Amazon. And Whisper Sync allows you to then launch the Audible app and pick up in the book audibly on your jog later that afternoon, right where you left off reading it digitally in text-based form. And then you can go back and forth. It'll sync between those two things. This was a dream of mine. I said 10 years ago, I would love this feature because I don't always want to sit and read. Sometimes I want to take a walk around the lake. And I want to be learning and I don't want to have to just leave one piece of material behind. So with that kind of feature, most people don't even know that it exists. You'll see it when you're buying a book next time. It'll say Whisper Sync enabled. That means you can buy the audiobook and the text.
Perfect. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Sorry to go off on that tangent.
That's great. I buy the CD and the book and then I'm reading the book and listening at the same time. So you've got to follow it.
Yeah.
But anyway, one thing on the number three, I give all your listeners permission to procrastinate on anything that's not taking them to their goals. So they can still procrastinate, just not on the stuff that's important.
Right.
And then the fourth thing, and I know you're going to agree with me on this wholeheartedly, is visualization.
Mm-hmm.
You have to visualize it being yours. You have to own it already. You have to see it and you in position of it. That's why vision boards work so well.
They do. And if you sit down in a meditation every morning, we've done whole episodes on visualization, the power of this. The brain research is in. I mean, you just have to read Dr. Joe Dispenza's amazing work, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, that those thoughts become, you know, those thoughts are energy and they become real and they manifest themselves. We now know it, but 100% through science. And we can see it happening within the actual, reprogramming of the brain. So being able to sit down in a meditation every morning or journaling and visualizing what you want to achieve, really, really powerful stuff. So let me go through those four again. Number one, you have to be pot committed, right? Burn your boats, like Terry says, like the Vikings did when they were going to go into battle, right? Number two, you have to have the discipline to get to carry it out. You have to be, have to be
decisions.
And then number four, the power of visualization and seeing it as if it's already here. Wonderful stuff. Well, Well, Terry, I'm going to have you back on many, many times because I'm sure okay. we can go deeper into more advanced strategies for helping people build their business. This could be like really, episode school class 101 right now for starting your business. And we'll have you back on to talk some more advanced strategies for looking at.
Please do. I love your energy. I love just being, you know, I just feel a good connection with what we're doing here. We had good banter, you know, we were able to, but yeah, so I love it. I'm getting thrill bumps from this. So yeah.
me too. And I'm sure our audience is as well. And I hope this was inspiring to our audience, and we'll have part two very, very soon. We'll get you on the books and organized so we can talk about how to be profitable.
I want to share one thing with your audience just real quick. We were talking sure. about visualization. I'm going to give them a book right now. It's called Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz.
Love this book. Tell me why this. I read this book in college. It maybe was the first book I ever read on this subject, and I was blown away, and it changed my life. What does this book mean to you, Terry?
Well, I got knowledge of this book because I'm a golfer. And better than 80% of all golfers have this book in their bag.
Really?
It is. It's because it all deals with our subconscious. And once we take control of our subconscious and we understand how powerful it is, and we get out of our conscious state of mind. A golfer, he will stand behind a shot and he visualizes how he wants it to go. And he steps up and his hands and muscles configure to the vision that he had. So if he needs it to go down the lane about 100 yards and turn right, he can do that. Chichi Rodriguez can make two balls collide in midair down the fairway. So step up, hit one, step up, hit the next one, they'll collide. So this psycho-cybernetics, what Maxwell Maltz did was he realized that the power of the subconscious was that people would go and have, because he did plastic noses, you know, and face reconstruction stuff. He wasn't, you know, implant stuff. But what he learned was the people would, after doing a nose repair, they would still see the old nose.
Interesting.
Their subconscious was so intrigued, you know, over their original nose, they'd come back and say, "No, you haven't done anything to me." And he says, "Yeah, let me show you the picture," you know. Wow. And he did that. So in our subconscious is also brought up in Think and Grow Rich. It's The Secret. If anybody's ever read Think and Grow Rich, it'll tell you the secret will be unveiled to you, but it will be mentioned over 100 times in the book. Well, the only thing that's mentioned over 100 times in Think and Grow Rich is your subconscious.
Right.
So if we understand, and there, I'll give you one little tip on that. It's called your reticular activating system, RAS for short. You Google this and you'll find out that in the back of our brain right here, we have something called our reticular activating system. It's our executive secretary. The first thing that was put into that was our heartbeat. The second thing was our breathing. And then we can control that from then on. If you think about it, before we were born, our heartbeat without us knowledgeable of it. Now we breathe the same way. We don't think about it. Well, there's a lot of things that we do subconsciously. Drive a car, for an example. I'm sure you've pulled up in the driveway at the house and get in the house and forget that you were supposed to stop at the grocery store and get something. Because you were so intent to get home, you obeyed all the traffic lights, you did everything you were supposed to do. However, you forgot the milk.
Right.
Anyway,
happens all the time, right?
Yeah. So intent. If I can, I'd like to offer your guest a gift.
Sure.
And that gift is 1 hour of my time. Just simply go to terryogren.com, my personal website. You'll have it in the show notes, I'm sure. And if they would like to spend an hour with me, as challenging or whatever, no charge, nothing. It'd just be us sitting down and going over a challenge that they may have, and maybe I can help them through it.
Wow, that's amazing. What an amazing gift of your time to our audience. I hope everyone gets a chance to take Terry up on that. If you're thinking about starting a business, or you're struggling with your business, or any challenge like that, that's amazing, Terry. Thank you so much for doing that. And again, we'll have a link to Terry's website in our show notes page. And again, we'll have Terry back on real soon. Terry, it's been a real pleasure having you here on the show and getting to know you. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Clayton. And again, it's been great getting to know you and getting to know your energy. And you got some great energy. So, and thank you for considering me to be back on your show.
Absolutely. Well, I love this topic and I love having your great wisdom here. So thank you for sharing your time with our audience. And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing to our podcast. We really appreciate it. I hope you take action on the things that we put in place here today. Terry was kind enough with his time and you took time out of your day to listen to this show. I hope you do something. And I hope you put the first foot in front of the next and start making those small little action steps to propel you forward. We'll see you next time, everyone.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus, on edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.